You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
702 and Cape Talk.
Technobite with Aki Anastasio.
A very good morning to you, Aki.
Good morning to you, Africa, and how are you doing this morning?
I am very well, thank you very much. Even more excited about the first topic you have on your list, where I can ask Google something, and then it gives me a list of books that I need to read on that subject matter. Fascinating.
Well, you see, I know that you love books, but you know, up to now, the way we search for stuff on Google, for example, it's very systematic, right? It's categorized, and then Google looks for specific words that you are looking for in your sentence. But this one is different, and what Google have announced is this new experimental technology called Talk to Books, okay? And what it does is it allows you to ask questions like you and I would ask questions in plain English to discover relevant information, and it searches more than 100,000 books. It looks at 600 million different sentences, and you can really ask, pretty interesting questions as opposed to, traditionally searching on Google, like, what is the sum of this, or where do I find information on this? This is more intuitive and more designed to, you know, the way we speak the English language. So, for example, it's not a traditional search, okay? Let's just forget about it. It uses natural language, and if you go to Talk to Books, if you Google Talk to Books, you'll find the website. But essentially what it does, if you want to find out information on how to write a novel, for example, and you type that search in, it will give you a whole range of advice on how to write a novel, searching in different books and giving you suggestions on what books will help you in this regard. Another interesting search that I find, and this is just to give you an idea of why it's not a traditional Google search. You can ask it, for example, would you advise young people to pursue a career as a musician? Now, you see, now that's a completely different, complex question that a traditional Google search engine might find specific articles linked to this, but this looks specifically in books that you would find information on this. So they've launched this, and they've launched it together with another experimental game that you can play with words, and it's called Semantris, and it offers word association games in a Tetris-like format that really gets you to use different words and learn different words. So it's a completely fascinating breakthrough to the traditional search engine that Google has.
I'm very excited about it. I'm certainly looking forward to it being rolled out fully in the near future.
Yeah, and I'd love to hear your feedback as well. If you've tried it, if you're going to try it a little bit later on, you know, go and try it out. And if you're looking at what it's called Talk to Books. And if you just Google Talk to Books, it'll take you to that search engine that specifically looks into those thousands and thousands of books, asking you, answering back interesting ways and your questions.
Why are scientists looking to mount sort of sensors on my teeth?
Well, you know, they're doing all sorts of interesting things with sensors, and this one really like blew my mind because the technology is becoming so small. What these guys have done at Tufts University at the School of Engineering, they've managed to mount a tooth mounted sensor. Okay. It'll fit onto one of your teeth, on one of your front teeth, and eventually you won't be able to see it, but right now you can still see it if they mount it on your teeth, for example, and it's still very much an experimental phase. But why they've done this is these miniaturized sensors are looking out for what glucose you're consuming, what salt, what alcohol intake you're consuming. They are then transmitting that information via a wireless connection to your phone, and they're able to, you know, basically analyze whatever you're eating. So they've got a wide range of nutrients and chemicals and different physiological states that they're monitoring using this tooth sensor. But I think if you imagine people who have certain illnesses, that you're not supposed to eat certain foods, if you want to monitor your diet, for example, you're monitoring any kind of food intake you're taking into your body, this sensor will be able to read all of this information, send the information to your smartphone or even a doctor, for example, and saying, oh, Aki is eating too much of this particular item. You need to cut back. Your body resistance is running low on this. And I just think from that point of view, it's got mind-blowing implications and amazing uses for the future.
As long as they keep to the positive uses of the technology, because I can think of one or two things that could go eerily wrong with this technology as well.
No, absolutely. And, you know, again, it goes on to what kind of privacy do we have? What, yeah. You know, how much can technology encroach into our personal lives? But, you know, if you look at people, there was another example over a weekend that they can take, just stuff off anybody's fingernails and find out exactly what drugs you've been consuming. And you know, if you've got kids at home, do you force them to take this test? Those are the kind of ethical issues, that we all are asking. And you know, the tooth one is a great example that you've just raised.
It seems it's going to be more and more difficult for us to hide. Police in Southeast China finding a person in a crowd of 50,000 people who were attending a pop concert.
Yeah, so this is, you know, when you hear of the stories that your face is being tracked thousands of times a day when you travel into cities like London, for example, by cameras. And even in airports, if you go into a high security setting in an airport, your face is being scanned continuously, and this is how they pick up people. And the technology is just getting better and better and better. And what the police in China did, there was a concert in Hong Kong, if I'm not mistaken. There were 50,000 people there, and they were using this technology. And basically, they used their technology from a security point of view. They scan people. You know, there's terrorism that's linked. There's all sorts of other things, but it picks up. In the same way that your license gets scanned by the toll gates, you know, and this is the facial recognition that we see. But with faces, it's a lot more difficult to do because the technology has to look for other aspects of your face and match them up. But this guy went to a concert in China with 50,000 other people. He was a well-known criminal and a suspect that was at large. And they used these cameras and the facial recognition technology, and they basically tracked this guy. And as he was in the concert, police went up to him and they said, "Sir, we're looking for you. You wanted for crime." And they arrested him on the spot at a concert. And he thought he'd get away because he was going to a public place where there were thousands of other people. And never in his wildest dreams did this guy imagine that the police would be using this sophistication of this kind of technology, and that ultimately led to his arrest.
Because it's the kind of thing we only see in movies, isn't it?
Well, exactly. I mean, you see it in the movies and CSI, but when you see this in real action and the sophistication of the technology and how mature it's getting, again, it begs the question, is that how safe do you feel? Well, you feel safe. If you've done nothing wrong, you've got nothing to hide. But as a criminal, as somebody who's on a wanted list and you're walking around in public places and you've got these cameras scanning you, I suppose it's making us all safe ultimately, but what do the authorities know about us, and how much are they tracking us in light of what the recent Facebook stuff that's come out? Yeah. And Mark Zuckerberg appearing in front of that Senate. And interestingly, the other thing that's come out of the weekend is that Facebook is tracking you even if you're not a Facebook user.
Think about that for us.
Well, what they do is, Africa, when you go to a website, let's say you go to the CNN or you go to BBC, for example, what happens in the background with cookies that are being let out is they are tracking you, and there are thousands of websites that are tracking your activities online, and they're forming a profile of you based on your searches and what you're looking for, what you're buying on Amazon. And even Facebook is getting all of this data, and they're starting to put potential stuff on you. And you know, I'll give you an example. Have you ever searched for somebody on Facebook?
I have, yeah.
Right, that you're not a friend of, right?
Yeah.
The next thing, Facebook is taking this information. That's, this person might not be on Facebook. He might be on another social network, or he might be somebody else. And all of a sudden, on your friend suggestions, you're seeing suggestions of this person that you're not even friends with, and friends of their friends that might share common interests or common friends with you that start appearing on your suggested friends list. So the amount of stuff, is where I'm going with this, is the amount of stuff that is out there that, you know, that other websites and other organizations are learning about us just by simple searches. They're building up profiles of you just on the cookies that you give out is actually quite scary.
Let's go back to writing with pen and paper, I tell you. Okay, Anastasia, thank you very much.
Cross my mind, Africa. Have a lovely, lovely week.
Enjoy your week. Cheers. Too. Bye-bye. He's back with you, CBS, next week, Monday. It's